My sense in the clubhouse was that they never lost their edge. They may have gotten tired over the course of the year, but everybody does. The thing that we did do during the middle part of the year, you know, we had some injuries and guys stepped up, and that's when we took off. But then we fell off a little bit in the middle there. But I don't categorize that as losing their edge. I don't think those guys did.
The voice of Topper, as the Phillies, if they didn't lose their edge, they lost themselves, because this baseball team was not the same after June. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. So you heard from Topper there. He said they didn't lose their edge, Hugh. I don't know what it was, but they weren't the same baseball team. I mean, their record in the middle of June was 45-19. They were on pace to be one of the great teams of all time, and they were 500 from June 9th, 10th, whatever that second game was in London against the Mets, through last night, a 500 baseball team for a long time. Let's hear from JT Realmuto, because this was a troubling thought he had yesterday, what he shared with us, based on how he felt and how the team felt heading into the series.
Well, it's baseball, man. I mean, it's just a hard game. It's hard to stay hot for 162 games, and we were just hoping that, you know, we knew we weren't playing our best baseball coming into the postseason, but we were hoping once the lights turn on, we'd flip the switch and our offense would get back going, and just didn't have for us.
You know, that frustrates me.
Yeah, you can't say that.
No, you can't say it. And also, I feel like it's an excuse these teams make when they lose. Well, it's baseball. You know, it's a short series. How about play better? How about have better at-bats? Give yourself a better chance.
Especially when you see the other team that has been pretty hot, like I said, since London.
Yeah.
Since London, they've been pretty hot and they've been pretty focused. It's just kind of amazing. I don't know what happened, but it just seems like around this time of the year, for whatever reason, our bats are MIA. MIA in the playoffs. And you have to try to fix that. I don't know how you fix that. And it's one of those things where it's progressively gotten worse. When you look at where they were when we started this journey, made it all the way to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, you've fallen a little bit shorter than the year before. So it's one of those things where something has to give. Something has to change. And I don't know exactly what that is, but the way that this team is presently constructed, you can't move forward and expect different results.
I agree with that. I think the DNA of the team has gotten worse. They may have gotten bigger name players and quote-unquote better players, but every time I see a highlight from 2022, I see Rhys Hoskins grinding an at-bat, Gene Segura dumping a single into right field. They played like the Mets then. They put the bat on the ball. They grinded at bats. These guys make it easy on the opposing.
It was pretty easy.
They seem like they're confused. It's pretty obvious what happens. They're over-aggressive at the plate. They don't have enough guys that grind at bats, and they make it easy. I mean, Quintana's throwing pitches outside the strike zone, and Trey's swinging. Schwarber's swinging last night. They have like three guys I feel like grind at bats. Schwarber and Stott and Harper. And they struggle sometimes. I'm not saying those guys are perfect, but at least I think they grind at bats. The rest of them, they don't.
The comments like that, that one from JT, and then the one from after game two about how they were tight going in, that's the stuff. And even Topper there, like that talk about them being tired and losing their edge and stuff. Like, that's where I start to look at the manager. What was his team's mindset in the second half of the year, thinking, oh, we can just coast, win 95 games, win the division, get the bye, have a series at home, and then hope. Oh, you know, we're just hoping we're going to flip a switch. Like, that was their strategy? Hope.
And I think back to some of those games where Topper showed no urgency, and it was like, well, they're up 6 or 7 or 8 in their division, but it obviously seeped into the clubhouse.
That's the mentality, is that, oh, this will be fine. You know, they'll slug eventually. That's what Topper always says. Like, was that what this team was thinking going in? Oh, you know, eventually we'll slug.
Well, if that's the mentality, they're not going to win a World Series.
Of course not.
No, it's just not going to happen. Let's go to the phone lines here, and then we'll hear from Trey what he said about why they struggled so much offensively. Dustin in the Northeast. Hey, Dustin.
Ah, Joe G.
What's up, man?
Dustin, what's up, buddy? What are you feeling this morning?
Piss poor performance out of this team last night and the entire playoffs, man. Hog, how many gummies do you think were consumed in the Delaware Valley last night?
Oh, last night, a few people. Just to keep their sanity,
just to get
I would imagine. Just to get some rest, to quiet their mind down a little bit. I would imagine quite a few.
Are yours still kicked in right now? Because you made a comment a couple minutes ago. The only way I could think of it is your mentality isn't in the right spot because of a couple of gummies. You good right now?
Wait a minute. What did I say? You talking about the iguanas?
You said that you saw some fight in them guys last night. Dude, they looked like a friggin' pack of dogs with their tails between their legs. That was such a My daughter is on a 10-year-old travel softball, and these girls don't know how to swing, and they're taking pitches way better than this team was last night. That was such a bad performance. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. So when you said that you saw some fight in them, I'm like, you totally threw me off. Now I feel like I'm the one eating gummy.
Well, I feel like Ranger. You don't feel like Ranger fought? Ranger fought last night. When you talk about the tidy back and everything, I thought he fought a little bit.
But how about this one? You have arguably probably the best closer in baseball right now, and he comes up and he walks your first two batters. You're in the meat and gravy of your lineup, and then you can't produce one run. You can't. There were so many times where Joe, you were talking about it. They're swinging. I'm sitting there watching the game with my dad. The only person that's not swinging at first pitches was Bryson Stott. Every single one of them was swinging at stupid pitches. And then you have your $300 million half a smack, you know what, playing shortstop, coming out and saying, oh, well, we know we're not supposed to be swinging at it, but we're swinging. You're an idiot, dude. You're an absolute moron for even coming out and saying that, because you're making not only yourself look like a jackass, you're making the whole team look like that. Because now they look like they're swinging like Castellanos halfway through the season when he was in his home. It's the whole team's doing it besides Castellanos and Harper.
It permeated through the whole lineup. Dustin, appreciate it. Let's hear that from Trey Turner. Trey, after the game, about the offense. I'm not even sure what he's even trying to get at here. It just annoyed me when I heard this.
I personally think we get ourselves out. I don't think it matters who's on the mound. I know I feel that way personally, and I would think a lot of guys in this room feel that way as well. You know, hitting's very tough, and it's, you know, easy to sit in the dugout and say, don't swing at this pitch, or, you know, do this or do that. And, you know, we say it all the time. It's so easy from over here when we're in the dugout and someone else is hitting, we say it. But when you're in the box and you're competing and there's a guy, you know, on the other side throwing 95 miles an hour and got all sorts of things going on, it's easy to say, do this or do that. But when you're in the box, you got to make a decision and how you're going to compete, and I think we want to compete. I think we have a great lineup and great offensive players, and I think we get ourselves up.
That bothered me so much because he acts like they're in total control of it, and then they just don't do it. Well, then stop doing it if you're in total control of it. Also, giving no credit to the other side, they're taking advantage of your obvious weakness. They're throwing you slop, and you're swinging at it. I looked up Trey Turner's numbers this morning since the All-Star break. You remember when he started the All-Star game? He was an All-Star this year, right? He was hitting .349 at the All-Star break. If you look at Trey's numbers since then, including this playoff series, he hit .245 with a .286 on-base percentage and a .390 slugging. His numbers since the All-Star break, Hugh, are almost exactly the same they were when the ovation happened. We just didn't realize how bad he's been because his beginning of the year numbers were so good, it kind of made the whole thing look okay. But since the middle of July, Trey has played like he played when we had to give him a standing ovation to get him going last year. This guy, for large, large portions of his 2 years here, has been awful. I feel like he has like two or three 3 week stretches of excellence.
I was about to say that.
That's what he is.
It's like it's some with that performance that you're talking about. There's some good stuff sprinkled in, but it's too few and far between.
Yes.
But it's good enough for you not to really notice. It goes unnoticed because of everybody else in the lineup. And I think while you're playing around that time, that's when Castellanos was starting to take off a little bit. So that's probably why I was overshadowed a little bit.
It was, yeah. And Bryce struggled, and the whole team was struggling. And we didn't, you know, last year he was new here, and it was the beginning of his season. And it was like we looked at the numbers every day, like, oh my goodness gracious. And it became a whole thing. Well, you know, it's 2 years now. It's 2 years of this player. He was supposed to be the missing piece. And I know it's not all on him. Boehm stunk, and Harper wasn't good enough last night.
There's enough blame to go around.
Schwarber, the whole offense. But I just. He's the two-hitter in this lineup. It's just the whole thing is ridiculous. 215-592-9494. Your reaction is the Phillies go down in four. Well, you know, of all the outcomes this season, out in four in the NLDS.
That feels bad.
It does. It does. You know, if they had lost to the Dodgers or Padres next round in a seven-game series, you could have almost said, what are you going to do? If they got to the World Series and lost to the Yankees or whatever, you might have said, disappointing, but they got back again. This just feels rotten to lose in the first round to the Mets. Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Hugh. What's going on?
What's up, Chuck?
Let me say this real quick, right? I want to preface by saying this. This is the time I miss Angelo Cataldi because I need anger right now. I need to listen to rage right now. You know what I mean? Because this is ridiculous. This was just underwhelming. You know, an underwhelming performance. And let me just get a second to say this, right? You know, the minute we went up 1-0, we took the lead 1-0, I would have had Zach Wheeler ass in that game. I would have had him warming up, and I would have had him in that game. Because I know points come at a luxury right now. We can't score points. You know what I mean? So it just was a terrible situation to me to sit there and save Zach Wheeler for an imaginary game 5 that never even happened. And then Trey Turner, I don't like that guy. I just don't like that guy. I can't relate to a guy like him because this guy is like a woe is me. He don't have the attitude. This is not there. He doesn't have a winning attitude to me. You know what I mean? And you come out and say that after a loss like that? Like, I'm done with these guys. I mean, Rob Thompson did not help this team a little bit. Not a little bit. I mean, you left Jeff Hoffman in there for God's sake. You left him in there to die. You know this guy, you know, the moment was too big for him. Like I said, why wouldn't you go to Wills at that point? You know, if you want to take Ranger out, why wouldn't you go to Wills? And you're already at the fifth or sixth inning. Wills could have pitched you all the way through, and I guarantee you the Mets wouldn't have hit him. I mean, am I wrong for thinking
well,
that?
Well, so here, I don't think you're wrong for thinking he should have got Hoffman out of the game, Chuck. Hoffman was out there.
What are we going to do Friday night?
Well, there is no Friday night.
When
that time come there, Hugh, I mean, I'll just get to Friday. We're not even at Friday now.
Yeah, you're right.
Chuck, I the point I totally agree with you on is Topper didn't do anything to help. But Chuck, we always appreciate it, and I appreciate your frustration right now. I don't think Topper lost the series. It's very hard to point to moves Topper made that like really helped them win. All the buttons he pushed seemed to not work in the bullpen. Are they his fault? Probably not. What are you supposed to do if the guy you count on all year stinks it up in the postseason in a small series? That hurts. I feel similar on Topper now that in this particular moment last night than I did in the World Series Game 6 when Alvarez hit the home run off of Alvarado. If your team's not scoring, you are asking the manager to have a high wire act for 9 innings. Ranger Suarez gave you 4 innings, right? He was dancing in and out of trouble.
Yeah.
Now, a couple things here. Hoffman may have been tired because he was up like 3 times early in the game because he thought he had to go to him and then Ranger got out. So there's that. There was that long inning before where Hoffman came in, got an out, then he had to sit, then he went back in the game. That might have thrown him off. Could he have had someone else ready? He could have. Mm-hmm. But he put Estevez in, and what did Estevez do? Give a grand slam. It wasn't like the next
grand
guy
salami.
Dominated, and you're like, if you got Hoffman out earlier,
you can't blame me for that. The bottom line is this.
They didn't hit.
When Ranger's dancing out there and he's getting in and out of trouble, you got to put runs on the board.
Of course you do.
You got to put runs on the board.
There's also an assumption, and Chuck just had this assumption, that Zach Wheeler on 3 days rest would have been the same Zach Wheeler as we saw Saturday.
I don't think so.
Probably not, right? He may have been a diminished version of Zach Wheeler. Now, would he have been better than Hoffman and Estevez? Probably, but it's not like I don't think you would have gotten the best out of Zach Wheeler.
Nah.
Maybe he could have gotten Christopher Sanchez in the game there for the clean inning in the 6th, maybe. But do we really think they were going to shut the Mets out for the entire game, no matter what the pitching
plan
was?
Not the way they were knocking on the door. Not the way that they came out swinging. Nah, that wasn't the case.
Every single inning, when we're done pitching, we're walking off the mound, you're saying to yourself, wow, like we really got away with one there.
Yep, everyone.
Time to put some runs on the board. And that rinse and repeat for every single inning in that game. The offense is a disgrace.
So I'm sure there's people out there that do not like Rob Thompson. And probably some people out there who want him gone today. But if Rob Thompson leaves today and they have a new manager in there, guess the problem still doesn't go away. They don't hit enough.
No, that's the bottom line. And especially in situations where you need to hit. That game seemed like it was one zip forever. And the Mets were threatening forever. And every time you got up, you didn't do anything to try to distance yourself from that. You know, what was it, 4-1 or something like
4-1.
That? Come on, man. That's a feeble way of losing. That is a feeble way of losing. That's the bottom line. Your big dogs didn't do it. They didn't do enough for you. The guys that you depended on, they didn't do enough for you.
Yeah, the saddest part is the deterioration of how we feel about this team as the 3 years have gone on. I think for the most part, I remember I was in the day after, I was on right after they lost the World Series that Saturday night in Houston 2 years ago. And then I if my memory serves, I was on this time slot. I was filling in for John in with Joe the Monday after they lost the World Series. And it was disappointing, and it was frustrating, and it was sad because that run was so much fun. But Hugh, I remember a lot of people 2 years ago were proud of that team. Right? They got to Game 6 of the World Series. They lost to a mighty Astros team. No one's proud today of the 2024 Phillies. And that's a darn shame considering how this season started. Russ is up next on WIP. What's up, Russ?
Fellas.
Russ.
It's a rough one.
What are you feeling? What are we feeling?
I have 3 pages of notes on what I'm feeling, but I will personally drive Rob Thompson, and I'll pick up Nick Sirianni on the way to the airport if you want to drop him off. I'm volunteering right now because, I mean, and I agree with Kyle on 90% of the stuff, but the one thing where I disagree is, much like Nick Sirianni, we look at the roster and we feel like they're underperforming. They should be doing more and you should be getting more out of them. I understand two different animals, baseball and football, but it's the same thing. This is the Phillies team that played the back half after the All-Star. This is the same Mets team that played the back half of the All-Star. One team looked like they really wanted it. The other team just showed up because they were contractually obligated. So I don't know what I was seeing out there, but we were lucky with Ranger, but I thought it was all hands on deck. So why send Jeff Hoffman out after you know he's been up a few times? By the way, another bad job by FS1 not covering the bullpen, showing anything. Is somebody up? Is somebody not up?
It was terrible. But, Russ, I mean, I am blown away by how bad the coverage has been on FS1. Like, those guys stink, but that's the one silver lining. We're done watching them for now, at least.
Oh, absolutely. And Adam Armin pumping in the fake excitement was terrible, too. But regardless, I mean, in the sixth inning, there's a thing with walking guys to lead off an inning. Everybody knows it's bad. It's one thing if you're nibbling and you're missing a strike zone or the umpire's got a liberal strike zone. He was bouncing balls 2 feet in front of the plate. Can we get a mound visit so we can get somebody up? Can we get Kirkring out there in a fresh situation? Rob Thompson could have did things in the whole back half of the year to agitate the team, switch the lineup up, try to get something going because nothing was going good anyway, and he didn't. And yesterday I just felt like, as somebody who grew up, I'm 50 years old, as somebody who grew up watched where National League managers had to make a decision if a pitcher was going well, but he was coming up in the batting order, you pull him, you keep him, what are you doing? You're bunting. It seems easier now, and he's just not pushing the right buttons. How do you give up on Alvarado without knowing the stuff that he has and just say, oh, we're going to forget him, and keep rolling Taiwan Walker out there all year? Like, his decision-making since the All-Star game, which my wife has been watching this year, I told her, I said, this guy's going to cost them a World Series because they have too much talent to underproduce like this.
Well, you know, I don't know if he cost him a World Series, but he didn't help enough. I'll agree with you there, Russ. He didn't help enough. He could have got Hoffman out. We appreciate the phone call. He could have got Hoffman out of the game. The problem is they still didn't hit beyond that.
I mean, that's the only thing. I understand, and he's not the only one that's blaming the pitching this morning. But I'm stuck on the fact that we sat here all day yesterday, and we talked about what was the line for Ranger, three and a half strikeouts or something like that?
Yeah, it was.
I think he beat that, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he had 8.
That's what I'm saying.
He was great.
He beat that, right?
Yeah.
So he overachieved in a situation where nobody thought he was going to do. He overachieved in that moment.
And there were 2 bad defensive plays by Bohm. He had to get extra outs. If Bohm played third base better, maybe he would have been out of those innings quicker. He would have had less pitches at that point. He walked some guys, too, but I loved how Ranger pitched yesterday.
And I know for a lot of people, this is something that has been building over the whole season.
Right.
And I respect that. The diehard baseball fans, I respect that. I live in the moment. And in that moment, Ranger gave you everything that he had, and he overachieved, and you only gave him one run.
Only gave him one run. And then the other thing, look, we're hyper-focused right now on what happened in these 4 games. And did Topper do a great job? I don't think he did. I don't think he did a fireable offense kind of job. The offense stunk. But the body, you know, we also, sometimes we focus on the small thing and we forget the big thing. Dave Dombrowski is in charge of building the roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
The trade deadline for Dave Dombrowski this year was Tanner Banks, Carlos Estevez, and Austin Hayes. It's hard to have a worse deadline considering how those guys played down the stretch. Banks was a non-factor. Hayes was so bad after getting sick, unfortunately, that they had to put Weston Wilson in last night. And, you know, we were harping on Topper leaving Hoffman in. He eventually went to Estevez, right? He put Estevez in to face the Mets' best player. And what happened? Grand slam.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dave Dombrowski's big trade deadline acquisition. You know, he could strike him out. That's allowed. You know, Topper did make the move to go put Estevez in. Estevez could get a strikeout. Instead, he allows, you know, Lindor to take him out to right center. That ball's still flying. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll talk to Rhea at 11. Your calls all show here. Let's let it all out. Let's air it out. Let it all out. What's the most to blame? What part of this team is the most to blame? Topper, the offense, the bullpen, which really was poor in this series. More audio from Rob Thompson after the loss. That's next. Your phone calls as we say goodbye to the 2024 Phillies way earlier than most of us thought. It is October 10th, and this run is over. So disappointing. One of the biggest disappointments in Phillies history. 215-592-9494. That's a Hot Sports Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Guys, myself and a lot of people, you know, hair thins over the years. It happens. And for a lot of people, it's devastating. It could be really one of those things where you have to deal with it and accept it. But you know what? You could also get some hope. Dr. Rafi, he's my friend. I visited him. He gives people hope every day. Everyone loses hair as they age, and hair loss won't stop until we stop it. And I'm not talking about those over-the-counter shampoos, supplements, none of that. If you use them, you know they're not a permanent answer. Looks matter. So if you're newly single, have a wedding or job interview coming up, trying to land more clients, or just want to look the way you remember, you don't need to suffer anymore because Dr. Rafi and his team at Precision Hair Restoration will personally perform the most natural-looking hair restoration using cutting-edge Artis robotic or Neograph FUE technology or the non-surgical Almatec. Call Dr. Rafi now, 215-890-100. That's 215-800-9100 and get your confidence back or visit PhillyHairMD.com. That's PhillyHair.com.